Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's what you expect of free speech, because what do you expect? So, I know I've been dipping into this well a lot lately, but I'm going back to joint shows with Dr. Duke. He needs the help, and if I'm giving him the help, and I got a lot of stuff to do on my own work, it gets hard to do separate shows, so we do some joint shows. Here's another joint show. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be back on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to continue the conversation I had with Dr. Slattery yesterday. We had a great discussion, and we dealt with none other than Democracy Now!, and they had a pretty good roundup of what's going on in Lebanon. I'm going to play a little bit more of that. Then I'm going to go into another Democracy Now!, that even though Democracy Now! Is doing a lot for the Palestinian people who are literally being dispossessed by massive immigration into their country by Jews and others, right, and controlled by foreign nations, but for some reason, they think it's great to have a Jewish son of Holocaust survivors tell us how fascists are erasing our history by daring to talk about great white men in America. Interesting. Are Turks not supposed to be talk about great Turks, the great Ottomans, or great leaders? So let's go into this now. So we're going to go back to Democracy Now! First and see where we go.
U.S. prosecutors have announced plans to bring attempted assassination charges against Ryan Ruth, the man accused of trying to kill Donald Trump while he was playing golf in Florida. The charge carries a life sentence if convicted. Prosecutors revealed Ruth wrote a letter months ago detailing his plans to kill the former president.
By the
state of Missouri is scheduled to execute Marcellus Williams this evening despite significant indications he was wrongfully convicted. On Monday, Missouri...
Okay. I think we're just going to go ahead and go to that next... program that I was talking about. I didn't know how much more there were they going to talk about Gaza. But that's interesting about this guy, this assassin. He's got a lot of standing ties to the CIA, too. Have you heard about that, Doctor?
Yes. You're talking about the guy from the golf course. And there's a lot of weird things about that. You know, one thing is if this golf outing by Donald Trump had only been decided on a day or so earlier, and this person who did the shooting, does he live in Hawaii? I don't think he's local. How did he know about it in time to get himself there? It's pretty weird that he would have known about it in time to get himself there.
Well, somebody in the CIA or the government, deep state, would they know, wouldn't they?
Yeah. That's, I mean,
this
that's
is Democracy Now!
Okay, so now we're going to play a section from Democracy Now! Called Erasing History. Yale professor Jason Stanley on why fascists, listen to this, attack education and critical inquiry. You might as well say critical theory. He doesn't talk about, and we're going to have a lot of things to say in this broadcast, and we're going to show you a lot of the hypocrisy of these Jews in there. And critical theory, as you probably know if you listen to my program a lot, was really advanced by the so-called Frankfurter School, which were almost all Jewish. They were almost all Jewish. They were all Jews. Actually, the Frankfurt School, Horkheimer, and they worshiped Karl Marx, and they identified Karl Marx, not as Karl Marx, the writer of the Communist Manifesto, but as Karl Halevi, the great communist that wanted to, they wanted to rule the world under the Jews, basically. So we're gonna go ahead and start playing this, and we're going to have a lot of fun with this today. Here we go.
.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Election Day is now 7 weeks away. On Monday, Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance lashed out at Democrats, saying liberal rhetoric is to blame for Sunday's apparent assassination attempt on Donald Trump at his golf course in Florida. Vance made no mention that the man arrested was actually a former Trump supporter. Vance spoke on Monday at a Faith and Freedom Coalition event in Atlanta.
Like, that makes a lot of difference if somebody was a former anything. All right. I mean, but again, when they want to make a point, reason doesn't get in their way.
But you know, the big difference between conservatives and liberals is that no one has tried to kill Kamala Harris in the last couple of months, and two people now have tried to kill Donald Trump in the last couple of months. I'd say that's pretty strong evidence that the left needs to tone down the rhetoric and needs to cut this crap out.
Monday, Trump ally Elon Musk posted a message on social media platform, his social media platform, X, that read, "And no one's even trying to assassinate Biden Kamala," along with a thinking face emoji. Musk deleted the message after widespread criticism. He's now being investigated by the Secret Service. J.D. Vance's remarks for Democrats to tone down their rhetoric came just days after Donald Trump repeatedly used inflammatory language to attack Vice President Kamala Harris during last week's ABC News presidential debate.
She's destroying this country, and if she becomes president, this country doesn't have a chance of success. Not only success, we'll end up being Venezuela on steroids, because they're destroying the fabric of our country by what they've done. There's never been anything done like this at all. They've destroyed the fabric of our country.
We're joined right now by Jason Stanley, author and professor of philosophy at Yale. Bennett's last weeks.
Well, I faced a puzzle when writing this book. Why is it that authoritarians always target schools and universities? So we see that all over the world. We see that with Viktor Orban, who provides a kind of temp.
His new book titled "To Tone Down Their Rhetoric" came just days after Donald Trump repeatedly used inflammatory language to attack news presidential debate.
She's destroying this country.
It now and the significance of its publication as this election, to say the least, heats up in its last weeks.
She says, by the way, she points out very strongly his claim to fame. Oh, he was a son of Holocaust survivors. What are Holocaust survivors? Somebody was anywhere in Europe before the beginning of the Second World War. As Norman Finkelstein says, his parents actually were in concentration camps, including, I think, Auschwitz and other main ones. And they didn't die. And it kind of maybe shows that maybe some of the narrative about the Holocaust might be a little bit disinformative. But this guy is basically cheered as a Holocaust survivor. You know, it's kind of funny. And they do the same thing with Jews who complain about the Palestinians, how there was a great Holocaust in October 7. It's the same thing. It seems like they don't understand that they're undermining their own arguments whenever they talk about rights in Gaza. Let's go on.
Puzzle when writing this book. Why is it that authoritarians always target schools and universities? So we see that all over the world. We see that with Viktor Orban, who provides a kind of template for U.S. authoritarianism. He attacked Central European University for gender ideology and leftism and being pro-immigration. And so we know about the courts, the authoritarians targeting the courts. But why do authoritarians always target voting? That's clear. And schools and universities.
Now, here's one for us. This is legendary, Dr. Slattery. Here we have a Jewish Holocaust, son of Holocaust survivors, right, telling us, why do these authoritarians always try to take over the universities or influence who their professors are and so forth? And but the ironic thing is, it's exactly what the left has done, and Jews specifically really had set their targets on the Ivy League itself and have taken over the Ivy League. And they presented these wacky LGBT ideas and popularized them through not only the fact that they were teaching this crap, but they were also being cheerleaded on by the mainstream Jewish media. Your thoughts, sir?
Okay. Well, I have a bunch of thoughts. First of all, regarding Holocaust survivor, son of Holocaust survivor. Regardless of what you think might have transpired during the Holocaust, the so-called Holocaust, which events you think actually happened, regardless of that, the definition of a Holocaust survivor, somebody who didn't die, it's like the bar is really low to being officially called a Holocaust survivor, because the whatever organization that takes care of these things, and there is an official definition, because if you're a Holocaust survivor, then you can get money from Germany, right? And it's anybody, any Jew who was in any part of Europe that had been occupied by an Axis power, which is most of them, but anybody, any Jew who was in any of those areas between 1933 and 1945. So it's an extremely low bar to be a Holocaust survivor. It doesn't mean you were in camps. It just simply means you were in Europe during these 12 years, and it doesn't mean anything bad happened to you.
Palestinians are treated, right, who are kicked out of their own homes, their homes stolen from them, murdered, driven out with horrific attacks and everything like that. And these same Jews who control this media, who have these tremendous necessities for Germany to pay all this money to these people and have these programs and policies, there is nothing for the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who suffer the Nakba in Palestine. Hey, yeah. What's your thought there?
I say that there are zero Nakba survivors because it's still going on. It's still going on. What I said, it's a very low bar to be a Holocaust survivor. And then to be a son or daughter of a Holocaust survivor, what the heck does that even mean? What significance is there to that? It's nothing. And so, but of course, Democracy Now! It's a show that, it presents a lot of information.
It's because Jews write books. Let me answer that question, rhetorical question you answered. My answer to that is because Jews who write books or academics and are supported by the media, like Ms. Jewish Goodman, they want to present and help bolster up the Holocaust attitude, because the Holocaust actually is used to support Jewish agendas and Jewish efforts. And why do you think that they do this all the time?
Because of the ethnocentrism, because the Holocaust is something very central to Jewish identity now, even, regardless of to what extent it's based in reality. But, Amy Goodman herself, she's got a super strong Jewish identity. Her father was a rabbi. I believe it was her father. Maybe it was her grandfather, but I think it was her father. And I watched Democracy Now! For years. It was one of my main sources of news. So I just got so sick of it. In the early years of after 9/11, I started watching it even before 9/11 on an occasional basis. My mom would watch it. There was a lot of good information about a lot of things. And then when after 9/11, when you had the American invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, they were very, very critical. And so they got a lot of news before us, to the public. And this is at a time when, if you think back to 9/11, the internet, it existed, but it really wasn't that big of a thing. And YouTube did not exist yet. So all that was on the internet was just, text, if you could find text. And most newspapers weren't putting their articles up yet. So Democracy Now! Was a really good source. And I watched it more or less on a daily basis. But she's extremely Jewish. And her guest list has a massive dearth of non-Jewish whites. So she brings on tons and tons of Jews, and she brings on a fair amount of blacks or other ethnics. And there's a dearth of whites. I mean, occasionally she'd have Paul Craig Roberts on. She'd have a few whites on, but not very many. And to the extent she has whites, it's going to be white Chomskyites. It'll be people like Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges she would have on.
So
so when last year when the anti-genocide, anti-war protests on campus were happening, I thought about the international context. I thought about what happened in India in 2019 when they passed the Citizenship Amendment Act, which made Muslims into second-class citizens, and there were nonviolent protests on campus denounced as anti-Indian. So and violent militarized responses. So this tactic of tarring school teachers, tarring university professors as Marxists and communists and ruining the country and replacing this kind of education, replacing black history, replacing LGBTQ perspectives by a kind of grandiosity of white Christian nationalism as we're seeing right now. This seemed to me a democratic emergency.
Now, listen to this. Now, he said so many things he packed into those few sentences, right? But it's just amazing to listen to this. So he says something about the crackdown on the Palestinian thing. But guess what? He doesn't really – I mean, he says basically nothing. He says, oh, my God, okay, America, obviously, if you look at the founding of the American government, the philosophers who wrote, the historians who wrote, the great minds who wrote, like Jefferson and Monroe, and so many others, and it created this amazing story of America. Like, yeah, they were men, and yeah, they were white men. Wow. They were centered upon that. But they also talked about, and many people did in the culture and in literature and elsewhere, you know, even great Indian warriors and Indian chieftains who fought well and fought hard against Americans, as well as there were certainly issues on, you know, even the Declaration of Independence talked about the some of the atrocities that took place to Americans on the frontier. And I do believe that there were atrocities on both sides in those kinds of things. But the idea that a country shouldn't celebrate its founders, and just about all the countries of Europe, all the countries of the Middle East, had many times when you had different peoples come in, just like the Judeans did in parts of what was called Judea and that area of the Middle East, who replaced the prior people living there and changed things. And there are places in the Assyrians. I mean, you could look at so many different aspects of history. And we had Asian invasions. I mean, we had the Aztecs and the Incas. They conquered many of the other tribes. But the idea that Aztecs shouldn't talk about Aztecs' history, or that you know, Aztec male warriors shouldn't center their stuff on that, it's kind of ridiculous. The Turks are going to center upon, like, the great leaders of the Ottoman and the Muslim, a victory in that country, and later their incursions into Europe. And what was committed, a lot of crimes against Europeans, like the kidnapping of tens of thousands of European young boys, sometimes even gilding them, making slaves out of them. In a horrible crime of castrating them. And there's so many other things like that, and other women that were inducted into their, or pressed into their harems and their slavery. There's many things like that, even though I understand that every nation, practically in history, practiced forms of slavery or repression and other aspects of mistreatment of different elements. Now, the idea of LGBTQism is, when was that a big part of American history, really? I mean, it really wasn't. And this was a manufactured thing by people who were trying to, I believe, to undermine the family. And again, this is poppycock what this guy is saying. What's your thoughts about what he said? Do you want me to play that section over, or do you just want to comment now?
No, I have thoughts. So what I'd like to ask this guy, you know, he's got this attitude towards white people and how horrible it was that whites wrote a history that excluded minorities or gays or whatever. So this country was founded by white men in the 18th century, you know, in the late 1700s. Can he plausibly make the argument that, the, for instance, the Jews who run Israel today are somehow, and you know, one thing is, over these 2.5 centuries, a lot of, the common, I don't know, the norms have changed, right? I mean, and the norms have changed largely because of European leadership changing the norms, you know, trying to outlaw wars and things like that. But
are things like patriarchy, there's a lot of change there, right?
Yeah, and they Europeans tried to outlaw war. They did outlaw slavery. Can he plausibly make the argument that Israel is less ethnocentric, less racist in 2023 than the United States was in the late 1700s?
I mean, that is so laughable.
Right.
Because in every respect,
yeah,
America treated the Indians with so much more respect. And look at the beginnings of Thanksgiving celebrations, where the pilgrims invited the Indians to take part.
Come on, Scooby-Doo, I see you. You got it. Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, Fact Bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Right?
Because in every respect,
yeah.
America treated the Indians with so much more respect. And look at the beginnings of Thanksgiving celebrations, where the pilgrims invited the Indians to take part. You can't imagine Jews doing that, right? Eating at the same table. I mean, it's amazing. No, the Jews wanted to sacrifice the Palestinians on their altar of Jewish supremacy. I'll continue.
I just want to finish up. There was a different standard in previous centuries. There was, you didn't have this body of international law that outlawed the conquest of territory. That doesn't come until the mid-1900s. You know, you had the Treaty of Westphalia. That was maybe the beginning of international law. But you didn't have a body of international law prohibiting conquest of territories and things like that back in the 1700s. And in spite of that, you can certainly make the case that the Indians fared a lot better than the Palestinians. I mean, it's not just the Palestinians are losing their land, but the Palestinians are just being destroyed. They're being bombed. The America was sparsely populated in the first place, and it's pretty well accepted that the bulk of the population collapse of American Indians was due to disease rather than due to violence.
That's believed by many sources. Okay, let's continue on. He says a bunch of other things which are very interesting. and need to be commented about it. Here we go.
This is Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance speaking in 2021 at the National Conservatism Conference. At the time, he was a candidate for the U.S. Senate in Ohio.
I think in this movement of national conservatism, what we need more than inspiration is we need wisdom. And there was a wisdom in what Richard Nixon said approximately 40, 50 years ago. He said, and I quote, "The professors are the enemy."
So that was J.D. Vance. The professors are the enemy. I also want to quote First Things magazine, a right-wing magazine. It says, universities should be places of sober analysis, but at Yale, philosophy professor Jason Stanley and history professor Timothy Snyder published books of political propaganda that describe Trump as the second coming of Adolf Hitler. TV newscasters intone rants rather than report on events. And of course, J.D. Vance, your fellow Yale colleague.
So that's a strangeness about this moment, that all these people, the leaders of the movement to attack universities and schools, are all Ivy League grads. Ron DeSantis is a Yale and Harvard grad. Ted Cruz is a Princeton and Harvard grad. J.D. Vance is a Yale Law School grad. Tom Cotton is Harvard. Elise Stefanik is Harvard. So what's going on? That's a mystery. These guys are sending their kids to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. They're not sending their kids to Hillsdale College. It's Hill.
Now, what's amazing about this, Dr. Slattery, you and I have spent hundreds of hours over the last few years discussing the Jewish takeover of Harvard and Yale and Princeton and the Ivy League schools. But he's talking about these people like, well, the problem is these white folks taking over, even though at Harvard, for instance, whites, both in undergraduate and graduate schools, pretty much outnumbered whites. And what whites they've allowed in are the LGBT type, are the complete leftist or Marxist more oriented type, or certainly at least neocon types ready for the endless war in the world. I mean, the hypocrisy of this Jew is amazing, isn't it?
Okay. He mentioned Yale professor Timothy Snyder. He's a history professor, and his beat is Ukraine. And he claims to teach the only course on Ukrainian history in the United States. And he's half Jewish. He's Jewish on his father's side. And he's got a Jewish identity. And his course, I listened to the entire course. It was on YouTube. A lot of professors do this at big schools. Is they put their courses out on video. I guess so their students can review them and things like that. But so I listened to his entire course on Ukrainian history. And then, you know, in this course, he said all sorts of things. He saying things like there was never a German nation. There was never a British nation or an English nation or a French nation. He says all these things. He would say, real. This is another cutesy thing. He said that the two oldest documented peoples in Ukraine were the Greeks and the Jews. Now, obviously, the Indo-European people have their origin, right? The Indo-Europeans do. And the Indo-Europeans gave rise to the Slavs and the Germans and the Celts and people like that. But so you had Indo-European people there, obviously. You had Slavic people, obviously. Why could he say such a thing? He said documented history. Okay, so the Slavonian alphabet, the Cyrillic alphabet, wasn't invented until what? I don't know, the 8th century or something. But the Greeks and the Jews, to the extent they were Jews in Ukraine, at this time, it would have been in small numbers, traders, but they had written, they could document because they had a written language. The Greeks had a written language, so they could document. So they had the oldest documented history. But people don't catch that. You know, people don't catch these things. So he's trying to get people to think that,
how those Slavs and those European, Indo-Europeans didn't have culture. They didn't have any culture. They didn't have anything. It was Jews and Greeks. The only ones
they invented the wheel. I mean, they invented the wheel. Things like that. And then, of course, Snyder, during the middle of the semester, I listened to this in the semester, fall semester 2022, during the middle.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, dixierepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
I mean, they invented the wheel. Things like that. And then, of course, Snyder, during the middle of the semester, I listened to this in the semester, fall semester 2022. During the middle of the semester, he goes off to Ukraine and he's meeting with Zelensky in Ukraine, his Jewish, homeboy. He's meeting with a Jewish homeboy. Timothy Snyder was one of these people just pushing the whole idea of Ukraine beating Russia. He's really not just a professor. He's effectively a policymaker, and he's just a horrible person.
It shouldn't be.
But you have the. Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't be necessary for us to repeat this again, but the Jews basically have destroyed hundreds of thousands, probably 600,000, according to leaked sources McGregor just revealed the other day from Ukrainian sources. 600,000 of the finest young men, white men, talking about white men again, of Hungary, which these Jews like Blinken and Victoria Nuland and the Jews who created this insane war, which was an unjust war against the Eastern Ukrainians and against Russia. And these people who did this don't give a damn about Ukrainians. They've slaughtered these Ukrainians, caused their death for no reason. It's a war they're going to lose anyway. And it's a war that's destroyed their country and also hurt a lot of Russians. because Jews have a long running fact. This is a factoid. In fact, Jeffrey Sachs talks about it a lot. So does Haaretz. So does these other publications. And so does My Jewish Learning. They talk about the war between Jews and Slavs, Jews and Russians, Jews and Cossacks. They hate Cossacks. And yet they promoted Cossack, you know, nationalism because they wanted to energize Ukrainians to kill Russians and to allow themselves to be killed in a war that they had no real prospect to win. Your thoughts?
To understand the war in Ukraine, you have to understand the Jewish aspect of it. And the Jewish aspect is just absolutely massive. And you have a Jew like Timothy Snyder at Yale who's promoting it. And, of course, the architect of the war was Victoria Nuland, the president of Ukraine, who went along with it is Zelensky, a Jew. You know, Victoria Nuland's a Jew. Lincoln, who was the official salesman for this policy, a Jew. And then the Jewish media pushing it, and it's enormous. You can't understand this properly without understanding the Jewish aspect of it. And the Jews are simply, it's a proxy war, but it's not a proxy war so much by America against Russia. It's a proxy war of
Jews and Ukrainians and Russians.
Jews against it's a proxy war of Jews against Russia. Russians and Ukrainians.
Amazing. Okay, let's go further here.
College for the rest of us at Harvard, Yale, and Princeton for their kids. So they're attacking the institutions.
For their kids. There's no institutions in the world that are more Jewish dominated by professors, by graduate students and everything, except maybe for Israel, than American universities, which are dominated by Jews, of which they're 2% of the population of the country. And only about 2-3% of the highest performing students, even with their educational advantages in terms of they go to better schools and so forth for their secondary education. But they're absolutely beneficiaries of this privilege. And even though there are at least 10 times, 20 times more European Americans who are better qualified than these Jews, but they find interest into these Ivy League and these elite universities over them. And this guy has got the nerve to talk about white racism, how whites want these schools to be their own. It's Jews that want that, including this Jew himself, who's also a graduate of Princeton. Okay. You want to go on or you want to comment?
Let's go on.
Universities, because the universities provide critical inquiry into the kind of myths that's required for these kinds of politics. This kind of politics elevates the dominant group, in the case of the United States, white Christian men. It diminishes women, the agency of women, but represents history as the exploits in the United States of white Christian men, like in India.
Okay, let's go on to these two things. First of all,
I mean, white men, really? Really?
Yeah, really.
Can I say really one more time?
Repeat what he said. Really? See if you can rephrase it.
That the United States, the dominant group in the United States is white Christian men. Really? Then why are we the ones under attack?
White Christian men? We're demonized constantly in Hollywood movies. We're always made out to be accusing Negroes of innocent crimes that we commit. We're considered to be exploiters and horrible people. I mean, we can just keep going on and on and on, and everything is rubbed in our faces, you know, and yet this is not the way Israel treats its Israeli citizens in their media, right? And it's not the way that almost any other country treats its founding majority. So this guy is so full of beans, it's unbelievable. But it's a typical Jewish hypocrisy. Here we go. Let's keep going.
History is represented as the exploits of Hindus. In Israel, it's represented as the exploits of Jewish nationalists who founded the state. This kind of erasure of history
The erasure of history is the idea, like Finkelstein points out so eloquently, how that the Jews claim, and they did a whole book on it, and he proved that to be totally false and a total lie, that basically when they said that Palestine was a country without people and a people without a country, right? It's not true. Palestine was a real area of the world. The Palestinians were identified, and there's no question about the fact they had a thriving community like any other nation did. So there you go. I mean, the hypocrisy is amazing. He wants to conflate and accuse white people of the Jewish racism, even genocide in Gaza, which is unlike anything that you're going to see anywhere around the world. There's a lot of Indians in Canada. There's a lot of Indians in South America. Yet all those countries were settled by white people. No question about it. And there were vast amounts of land and very few people in comparison in that land. But of course, the Jewish behavior in terms of what they did in Palestine is 180 degrees different than whatever the example is where a lot of these countries in South and Central America, which are still have a majority of mestizo or non-European basic groups that still tend to really are the majority of the people in that country. There we go. Let's go. Let's continue.
It doesn't just justify wars and genocide. If you look at Russia, a case I look at extensively in the book, as well as Israel.
Of course.
In Russia, the erasure of Ukraine as an independent place, the complete erasure of Ukrainian history, justifies Vladimir Putin's war on Ukraine because it says it is sort of a fake identity, a fake country.
Did Putin ever say that? I mean, did Putin ever really say that at all? Or did he say we can't have NATO have missiles on our border? We can't have the globalist West and these ultra-capitalist Jews, he didn't say the word Jews, but we know what he's talking about, you know, control this nation. And we can't have a Jewish entity or the entity that controls America, which we all know what it is, control this country, which would be like a knife into the heart of Russia and be a pathway for revolutions and subversion within Russia. That Russia didn't, Russia set all the countries of Eastern Europe free. They took down the Iron Curtain, and all they asked for was that these countries won't be introduced to NATO. The aggression was all on the part of the Jewish-controlled America, not on the part of the Russians. Dr. Slattery, weigh in, please.
Well, the thing is, Ukraine, he talked about Vladimir Putin denying the independent existence of Ukraine. Ukraine really does not have a history of independence. Most of Ukraine is a big country. It's about the size of Texas, and the bulk of the people in Ukraine, the bulk of the area of Ukraine, was part and parcel of Russian history, and of course the cradle of Russian civilization was actually, or the cradle of the Russian state was actually in Kiev, as you mentioned frequently. So for the most part,
the Kievan Rus,
Russia
Rus,
and Ukraine,
meaning Russian.
The Kievan Rus. Now, parts of Ukraine and some of the people in Ukraine also have a common history with Poland and Lithuania. And, you know, maybe parts, some of what's in Ukraine now is part of the Habsburg Empire. So. But in none of those cases, you're talking about an independent Ukraine. You know, places like Lvov would have been part of Polish kingdom or the Polish-Lithuanian entity. Ukraine really doesn't have a history, an independent history. And for the most part, its history is wrapped up in Russia. And for the people and Vladimir Putin, to the extent he is taking over parts of Ukraine, he does not want to rule people in Ukraine who don't welcome his rule. He's not going to annex Lvov because those people don't want to be ruled from Moscow. They don't want to be ruled by Russians, and he doesn't want to have like captive populations that are unhappy and are just going to cause trouble. So the areas that are currently under Russian control, and perhaps Kharkov and Odessa, if this war goes on long enough, those areas which have majority Russian populations who would prefer to be in Russia rather than Ukraine. I mean, nobody wants to live in Ukraine. The Ukrainian population has halved over the past since this war started. Everybody's left, and they're not going back. Nobody wants to live in Ukraine. So, you know, it's just more cutesyism that Tim Snyder, when he was giving his lectures, was trying to make the case that Russia doesn't have a common history with Ukraine, because, you know, Ukraine, it had periods of time where parts were in Poland or Lithuania, but it doesn't have an independent history. And you know, the bulk
certainly
of
not with
history,
those mixtures of different nationalities and languages that exist in Ukraine. The reason why Ukrainian is even different at all from Russian is because of the fact the Polish ruling of certain areas of Ukraine really caused there to be a distortion of the Russian language because of the fact that the Poles were having to speak it to rule over the Ukrainian population. Correct? And there were a lot of Russians, not a lot of Poles too, who also were speaking that pidgin form of Ukrainian because they were dealing with Ukrainian people. So that's why, in fact, the Ukrainian language has a degree of difference with the Russian language.
Yeah, and so it's not that different. So somebody like Vladimir Zelensky, who spent his entire life speaking Russian, he had to learn Ukrainian. I don't know if he learned it when he was running for president or when he became president, but he never spoke Ukrainian until a few years ago. And it's not so different that a Russian speaker can't pick it up pretty quickly. The bottom line is the Ukrainian, the territory, the people, the history, the language, the culture, the religion is for the most part wrapped up with Russia. Doesn't mean it's entirely the same. For the most part, it's wrapped up in Russia.
Now, let's contrast this Jewish racist and what he says about Russia and Ukraine to Jewish attitudes about Ukraine. So when the Jewish Bolsheviks took over Russia, what they did, they took Russia's name out of the name of the country, called it the Soviet Union because they hated Russians so much. I mean, it's amazing to think about, correct? I mean, the Soviet Union was what they wanted to rename the country and talk about usurp the country. And you had a country that was 99 or 98% Russians, or certainly not 2 or 3%, 4% outside Jewish, and they were in effect running the country. And then when Yeltsin came into power, he fell under the control of these Jewish oligarchs and criminals, and they literally stole half the country from the Russian people. And he dares to talk about how those Russians are so terrible for daring to want Ukraine not to be an enemy nation of theirs, which would be dangerous to all the Russian people as well as to the Ukrainian people themselves. And they also believe that NATO is a threat. I think Western Europe and the EU per se in this institution is a threat to the European people. These institutions have organized massive and promoted massive immigration of non-Europeans into Europe, and lower birth rates by different policies and destruction of their economies, for instance, to fight this crazy war in terms of sanctions against Russia, which has hurt Europe terribly, in order to fight this Jewish war against Russia. And it's damaging all of Europe, and it's making the economy worse, and it's destroying the European people. That's the truth. But he's acting like Russia is the destroyer. No, it's not Russia. It's the Jews who run the EU, and they've had huge influence in it. And the Jews that run America that in turn run the EU. Would you agree with that statement?
I would agree with that statement, absolutely.
Okay. Well, let me go on because there's some more things he talks about here, which is kind of amazing and shows you the hypocrisy.
It represents all Russian incursions as justified by supporting independence movements. Israel has erased the existence of the Palestinian people, has erased the history, making the desert Jews made the desert bloom. This kind of thing erases Palestinians from the narrative of the country and of the area. And paves the way for genocide. This kind of erasing history paves the way for ethnic, racial, and religious nationalism, which is the core of the message we're hearing from MAGA Republicans today. When you erase Black history, when you erase LGBTQ perspectives, when you erase social history of social movements, then you represent history as just the exploits of great white men. You erase social movements, you make citizens feel like they have no agency, and so it's an anti-democratic education. And then you justify great replacement theory, which is their core message, that the greatness of America comes from the exploits of great white men, and so we need to protect that identity.
Jason Stent.
Okay, was the greatness of the Huns, for instance, was not from the people of the Huns and the leaders, the Hunnish leaders of that empire, was the greatness of China, not from the great Chinese emperors. This argument is so insane, and it's so stupid, but it sounds like this Jew is really, really reaching, trying to say. And if you compare Israel to any of this stuff, it's ridiculous. It's not only paved the way for genocide, it's committing genocide. There's a big difference. It's committing genocide, mass murder, incredible oppression that I say is far worse than anything Western countries have done. And by the way, how many people were killed in genocidal things like the Holodomor, 7 to 11 million in Ukraine by Jewish leaders and Jewish Marxists, are the same 20 to 30 million that were killed in Russia? The Jews have blown Russia and Europe and other nations in Europe into. How many millions do you want to talk? Don't tell me about how white Europeans are so genocidal.
Here he comes, here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Racer, go, Speed Racer, go! He's often flying as he guns a car around the track. He's jamming down the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead! Go, Speed Racer, go, Speed Racer, go, Speed Racer, go!
The Jews have blood, Russia and Europe and other nations in Europe into. How many millions do you want to talk? Don't tell me about how white Europeans are so genocidal. They are not genocidal to any stretch of the imagination compared to Jews are. And historically, we can look at the same thing, even in the Jewish Talmud and even in the Jewish rendition of what they call the Holy Bible. because there's 64 major, you know, genocides that are promoted there. And again, I'm not saying that the ancient Israelites were terrible people, but I am saying that there's a very different standard than what Christians adopted of love thy neighbor. They weren't into that for sure. Okay, let me play a little bit more and then we'll kick off.
You write in your book, okay, Erasing History, the most visible current manifestation of the Black American tradition of reclaiming history is Nicole Hannah Jones' 1619 Project. She's, of course, the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the New York Times Magazine, creator of the landmark 1619 Project, which reframes U.S. history by marking the year 1619, when the first enslaved Africans arrived on Virginia soil, as the country's foundational date. This is then-President Donald Trump denouncing the project at a White House conference on American history in September 2020.
Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and the crusade against American history.
Okay, so do you realize what she just said and what this guy wrote in his book? She said that the foundation of America was not those philosophers and thinkers and gentry farmers and creators who were fighting for certain ideas of liberty and certain ideas of self-government and certain ideas of having a new vision for a great country. No, no, no. That's not what America was founded on. America was created by the arrival of a few slaves in 1619. If that's not a distortion and erasing of true history, what is? How about some thoughts on that, Doctor? What are you thinking here? It's ludicrous.
What this Jason, what's his name, doing? He's trying to erase the history of the majority of them. He's trying to erase whites out of the country they founded.
I mean, this massive settlement and creation of this new land and building a whole new civilization and magnificent society and architecture, art, literature, and music, and architecture, and the beginnings of a lot of science.
That's what the people who are flooding into America today and who came in the 20th century, they weren't coming because they wanted to see the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls. They weren't coming to farm on the prairies. They weren't coming for the natural resources. They were coming for what the white people had created. And they weren't coming for African slaves either. These people who are coming now are coming for what white people created, for the institutions.
And they were coming for the opportunity that our American ancestors formed for them, right? The freedom that they formed with a fluid society where they could rise to the best of their ability in a free society. I think that's why they were coming.
Sure. I mean, the only difference between, say, Mongolia and the Dakotas is that white people created a lot of stuff in the Dakotas and Nebraska and made it a very nice place to live. And so people flood in there. They're not flooding into Mongolia because those things don't exist there. The social infrastructure that white people created doesn't exist there.
I'm not bringing down the Mongolians. They had their own culture and everything too. But the point is that that's right. White people did some. He can't give white people any credit for anything.
And I think we're out of time now.
We're out of time. Okay, folks, support our work. You can contact me directly. Send us a gift, a contribution if you can. Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that, and I will be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Hercules, hero of song and story, Hercules, winner of ancient glory, fighting for the right, fighting with his might, with the strength of 10 ordinary men.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle